Well, good morning. How are we feeling today? Y'all seem so sleepy today. Is it like, did everybody just go out and party last night or something and not invite me? I mean, that's not cool. But, well, hey, Pastor Brian and his family, they are wrapping up their vacation in the next couple of days. So they will be back with us next Sunday, and he'll be sharing again. And so today, you get me. So, ha ha ha. So now, oh, thank you. I have fans. It's nice. So, I'm excited to share God's word with you today. And today, you can obviously see things are a bit, you know, I've got the cross here and Gregorian chants. I don't know if you guys know what that is or ever experienced that, but that's pretty cool. I know CJ, my friend CJ, loves that kind of stuff, so I don't get it. I just hear a bunch of noise. But anyway, I'm excited to share with you what God's been really laying on my heart for a while. And obviously you can tell we're going to be talking about the cross a bit today. So if you have a Bible, an iPad, iPhone, whatever it is you have, turn to the book of Titus. The book of Titus. It's in the New Testament towards the end, actually about halfway through the New Testament. This is a book that often doesn't get preached on. Some of you probably didn't even know this book existed. You're like, Titus, what's that? I have no idea. Remember the Titans? I don't know if that's right, but remember, Titus is what it's called. And so we're going to be in chapter 2 today in this book. So, all right, so if you have ever traveled at all, which I imagine most of us have taken vacations at some point, or you've been to major cities and different places for vacations or whatever, every place, every city, a lot of places all over, in fact, our country is full of them, just about every place you go has some sort of iconic image when you go to these places. And, you know, they're icons. There's things that when you think of this particular place, you think of these particular icons. And so one of, like, just thinking off the top of my head, it might be like New York, you might think of like Times Square or the Empire State Building and things like that. And so every time you think of these places, or if you've ever been there especially, when you see them, when you see these icons, you see these things that are iconic, oftentimes some sort of emotion comes about. There's something stirs up inside of you, and all kinds of different emotions may come. But when you see these things, something comes up to the surface. There's emotions, maybe good, maybe bad, but something happens. So I'm just going to throw a Vinny actually is going to throw a few on the screen, and we're going to see it. So there's the first one. You guys know what that is, right? Does no one know anything about the world? I mean, what is that? Thank you, the Eiffel Tower. You guys, listen, I say things. You can participate. Okay, now, if I'm storming the stage and, like, shut, then, you know, be quiet. But, I mean, you know, when I give you permission to participate, that's okay. So, yeah, that's the Eiffel Tower. Now, for most of us, you see this. Something happens. You think something. You feel something. Now, for me, I just see a weird-shaped tower. You know, that's pretty much all I see. Now, one of the things I know to be true is oftentimes when people see that, they think of romance and love and like, woo. And, you know, I want to take my husband there and have a kiss under the Eiffel Tower. Do you think all that kind of stuff? I don't. I just see that. Now, I've never been to Paris. I have no idea how romantic it may be. But oftentimes you see that in like romantic movies. I've seen this in a bunch of them where, oh, they were these people who loved each other, but somehow there was like a battle between them and it just wasn't work. People were in the way stopping them. And then they met at the Eiffel Tower and they kissed and oh, the movie was over. And then teaches us all how relationships really don't actually work, but we think they do. So, but that's a lot of times people think when they think of the Eiffel Tower, they think of like romance and love, okay? Let's go to the next one. So I don't see much. Okay, there's Golden Gate Bridge. I should have given you a chance. Anybody know where that's at? All right, that's nice. We got 2 for 2 for somebody over here. The Golden Gate Bridge. Now, for me, when I see the Golden Gate Bridge, I actually think of my childhood. Because there was a TV show that this was in the title sequence, the opening credits of the show. Who was that? Somewhere in the middle. 10 points to you in the middle. Okay, so. But yeah, that was in Full House. And so for me, I would think, you know, have mercy, you know, and the whole thing from Full House. And so that brought up childhood memories. So it's happy emotions, right? Now, for some people, they may see this and they kind of get panicky. I can tell you one, for instance, is my stepmother. Now, she is petrified of bridges, just petrified of them. Now, I'm from southern Indiana, so and we were right on the border of Indiana and Kentucky. And there is a river that separates Kentucky and Indiana, the Ohio River, separates the two states all the way across the southern border of Indiana. And oftentimes, my family, we would go to Kentucky. We'd go to like Owensboro, Henderson cities that are just across the river for whatever reason. And every time we would have to cross a bridge to get over to the other side. Well, as we were driving, every single time my stepmom would go like this. And she'd freak. And then she also did this thing too, and I didn't quite understand it. She would like lift her legs up. Like she thought when she went over the bridge was going to cut her legs off inside the car. Not sure I get that, but whatever. But she was petrified of them, so she may see this and get a little nervous, get a little anxious, okay? The next one I have up there is the White House. Okay, now let's just put politics aside. Some of you may go, I just don't like the guy there. Some of you may go, I love the guy there. You may just think, I'd hate the government. I don't know. Whatever it is you think when you see the White House. I know for me, I tend to think history because I like history. I love it. And so all those kind of thoughts of what happened in there and the Oval Office and the conversations and the things that have happened in there just kind of pique my interest. And so I kind of get excited because I love American history. So when I see that, and actually I've been there and I was very giddy when I stood in front of it. I just excited that I'm standing in front of the White House. So it's a pretty cool thing. Last one I have of these kind of things is that. Now, for some of you, your president, like your boss, the president of your company is Mickey Mouse, and like the CEO lives there, Cinderella, okay? So for you, your CEO is Cinderella, okay? So some of you work there, so you think, my job, and you might like it, you might not. I don't know too many people who work at Disney who like hate it. They just always seem to be happy most of the time, but I mean, they always tend to like the job and have fun with it. Plus, you get to be around kids and rides and smell food. And so for me, I see that and I just think Space Mountain, Thunder Mountain, funnel cake, another funnel cake, a turkey leg, Lori eating like three turkey legs, okay? So that's typically what I think when I go. And you know, we tend to go a lot. Some of you know my family, we go a lot. We're from Illinois, so we never went. So we're like getting like all these years of no Disney packed into the time that God has us here in Central Florida. So, which hopefully is a long, long time. But so anyway, you see all these different icons and things happen. Emotions come up and you think happy thoughts, bad things, whatever the case is. But I want to show you one more that I want to ask the question. And you know, no one answered this. No one raised your hand. No one needs to say anything. I just want you to be thinking about this. What do you think of? What rises up when you see this? What happens in you when you see this? Is it just another image on a screen? Is it just, oh, there's an orange cross on a black background. Whoop-de-doo. Move on. Or does something happen in you? Does these emotions and feelings start to come up when you recognize what actually happened there? Not there on the screen, but you get what I'm saying. There at the cross 2,000 years ago. Is that just an image on a screen, or is it more? See, I think that the cross is not at all just an image on a screen. It's not just an icon like those other things we mentioned. It is so much bigger than that. It is not just an icon. It's a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle. The cross is not an icon. It's a lifestyle. But hear me, and I'm not picking on any individuals, but let's just be real honest. I think way too many of us have made the cross just an icon. Something that we wear on our shirt, or we wear on our wrist, or the gold chain around our neck, or something, you know, we have the cross earrings, or whatever it is you have, or maybe you've got a cover photo on Facebook, has a cross, and that's all it is. That's all it's become, is this icon in your life. It's not truly a lifestyle. I think there are way too many of us. And again, I'm not picking on any individuals, but let's just be real. I think way too many of us have allowed the cross, we've allowed our lives to show us that the cross is just an image on a screen. It's so much bigger than that. The cross is not an icon. It's a lifestyle. You see, the cross is God's grace in action, meant to spur on action. Let me say that again. And I encourage you, write this down if you're taking notes. Maybe you don't, but just file it away in your head. The cross is God's grace in action, meant to spur on action. It's not just an image on a screen, it's bigger. It's God's grace in action, meant to spur on action. So let's start there. Let's start with God's grace in action. Yes, it is God's grace in action. Why? Because do you know what grace is? Grace is undeserved favor. That's what grace is. It's someone saying, you've done this, and I'm going to look past all that, and I'm going to take care of you and love you and be there for you anyway. That's grace. It's undeserved favor on someone. The cross is God's grace in action. It is undeserved favor in your life and in mine. It's God's grace moving and being active in your life. And it was God sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on it, just like this one, to die on it, to have nails jammed into his hands and his feet, to get beaten on the way there. It was God sending his son, Jesus, to die for your sins and mine, even though we did not deserve it at all. It's God's grace in action. And not only is it God's grace in action, and that's great, that's awesome, and we should be thankful for that. But it's God's grace in action meant to spur on action, and this is the part that we tend to struggle with. You see, Jesus, when he came down and lived among us and then took the punishment for us, took the sacrifice for us, I don't think for a second that in that whole time that he was here on earth, living among us, getting beaten on the way to the cross, and then actually taking the cross, I don't think for a second Jesus did all that to go, you know what, I'm going to die on the cross just so they can wear a shirt that has a cross on it and that calls them a Christian. I don't think that's it. I don't think that Jesus did all that so that you and I could just make sure we have the WWJD bracelet with a cross on it and say, hey, I'm a Christian, because I don't think that's what Jesus did that for. I don't think that's it. I think Jesus died on a cross. I think Jesus took the punishment for you and for me so that something would happen in us, so that you and I could make a decision, so that you and I would no longer be separated from God, but we now could genuinely take a step towards God. That whatever shame and guilt and struggles you have in your life could be taken care of. They could be wiped away if we will take a step towards God. I think it's too easy. It's too easy for us to assume that, yes, Jesus died, and that's great, and I come to church, and that's good. I mean, he died, that's yay. We sit the cross back there in the corner. But, we do that because we want a cross on stage and it looks nice, but we do that on, it's there, and that's great. Come on. If all Jesus died for was so that you and I here today could wear a t-shirt around that says, I love Jesus, yes I do, I love Jesus, how about you, and all that, the bracelets and the necklace, and that was it. He didn't die for much, did he? But if it truly is God's grace in action, meant to spur on action in us, it's so much bigger. It means that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to take the punishment that you and I both deserve. And he was willing to extend that grace to us so that all the sins and the struggles and everything that we've done has been paid for. The cross is so much bigger than just an icon. It's so much bigger. It's not something that spurs, that encourages us to do nothing. It's not something that we wear. Listen, and come on. Let's just be honest. We struggle with this, some of us. Because the cross is a real lifestyle. It's not just, there it is, cross on the, woohoo. It's a lifestyle which says two things. It says yes to God and yes to other people. Now, I'm just real quick, yes to others. I'm not going to talk a lot about this because I really want to focus on this yes to God part. The lifestyle of the cross is saying yes to God and yes to others. Yes to others is just the sacrificial love for people. You see a person in need, you meet the need. You be there for people. You love people. No matter where they've come from, no matter what they've done, you love them. You sacrificial love, that you're willing to give up your time, your energy for others. Same kind of thing Jesus did on the cross. He sacrificed his life for other people. That's what we are called to do, to sacrifice our time, energy, finances for people. So it's saying yes to others, but it's also saying yes to God, which I think sometimes when we say yes to God, it means we have to say no to some things in our life. And that's hard, isn't it? That's tough. That's hard. I'm speaking for me. That's tough. Saying yes to God sometimes means saying no to things in our life. And that's hard. That's not easy at all. But it's freeing. It's grace. It's breaking chains. It says no to things. Now, if the cross is simply just an icon, something you wear, something you see on a screen, and that's all it is, guess what? You are prone to live a compromising life. And here's the reason why. If what happened that day, if what happened on that cross, if what happened 2,000 plus years ago is not apparent to you, you will not choose the lifestyle of the cross. You will choose things that have nothing to do with God. If what happened that day 2,000 years ago is not important to you, not relevant to you, not apparent to you in every area of your life, why then would you choose to sacrifice areas of your life for God? If it's just an image on a screen, there's no reason to say, thank you, Jesus. But if it's more than that, if it's more than just an image on a screen, man, it's a tough thing, but it's saying yes to God and no to other things. And I know sometimes it's not what we want to hear. You know, we don't like in church, honestly, we don't like in church to talk about sin and struggles. We don't like to talk about that. Even I don't like to talk about that, and I'm standing up here in front of you talking about it. I'm uncomfortable right now talking to you about this. It's not easy to talk about sin. It's not easy to talk about struggle. It's not comfortable for any of us to say, I've sinned, I've made mistakes, I've done things wrong. That's not easy. It's hard sometimes to say no to things in our life, and who knows what that is for every one of us. I just think that if the cross, if the cross is nothing more than all these things, then Jesus didn't die for much. If the cross is bigger than an icon, it's something amazing, and it's an event where grace was extended to us, it should spur on an action in us to do something. And sometimes that means making really difficult and tough decisions, not compromising our faith, not compromising other people, not compromising ourselves, but choosing to live the cross style. That's what a friend of mine used to call it. When we talked about the lifestyle of the cross, he would say, it's the cross style. It's sacrificing parts of our life, all of our life, really, sacrificing all of our life to a God who loved us. Come on, people, loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us. Die for us. That's huge. He's calling us to do that, to surrender to him. And the more this is an icon, the more this is just a cross standing in the middle of a room, we will compromise our faith in areas that even seem harmless. And I pick on one, and I'm just throwing this out there. And I think it's just because God has really been kind of even hitting me on this. I think God is maybe speaking to some of us here. One area that I find so often, and I think it's just because I work with middle school, high school, college students. That's the majority of my ministry time, is working with these age groups. One of the areas I see that I find themselves compromising their life, compromising their faith, is in the area of entertainment. Is movies, music, TV, things like that. Now, I am not at all suggesting that I'm somehow perfect at this, but I see this over and over and over again. And I'm just picking on one area, and I could go into tons of them where the cross is just an icon in their life in this area. It's not really a lifestyle to spur on change. It's not that. It's they've made it into an icon. And again, I'm not picking on anybody. But the more that this is not apparent, the more that what Jesus did is not apparent to us, the more that we'll compromise in areas even like that. And I've seen this over and over again. Here's what people do. Well, yeah, I watched the show. Yeah, I watched this movie. Yeah, I listened to the song. And I feel bad about it. I do. I feel bad. I feel guilty. So I'll try harder next time not to listen to it, which I'm not even sure what that means. But try harder next time not to watch it, listen to it, whatever. And so they come to church, they come to the altar, they pray, God, just take that away from me. Stop, get rid of all those thoughts. I've got my bracelet. See, I've got the bracelet. I wear the necklace. Come on, just help me get over this. And so a couple of days go by, and they may not have watched it those couple of days, and then a couple of days go by, and then suddenly they're watching it again, and they feel bad again, and they come to the altar again. And that cycle goes on for a while. And the reason that cycle goes on is because what happened to the cross is not apparent to them. It's just a symbol. It's just an icon. And then eventually they start to say this, well, it's not really that bad. I mean, come on. Yes, the song talks about sex. Yeah, the song talks about treating women poorly. Yeah, the song, the movies, the shows. Yeah, but it's not really that bad. I don't even feel guilty anymore. That's what happens to us when the cross is not apparent. When what Jesus did for all of us is not apparent to us. We don't understand that. We don't grab a hold of that. That's the kind of life we'll live. Because as long as this is just a piece of wood sitting down here on the floor right in front of us, guess what? There's no reason to sacrifice a thing for this if this is just a piece of wood sitting here. But if we understand what happened here, it's calling us to something bigger than just saying, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe it is that bad. Maybe we need to say no to some things because Jesus sacrificed that, calls us to action. That's what the cross does, to say yes to God and no to some things. So let's look at Titus chapter 2. I know it's a long way to get there. But I want you to hear what these verses say. This is so big. Speaking of the cross, speaking of what this grace that's extended. He says in Titus chapter 2, Paul says this in verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Now, that right there, the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation. That is the cross. That is what happened. God extending his grace that offers salvation to every single one of us. That's what the cross is. And listen to what it says. Listen to what Paul says next. And this is so huge for all of us. He says this. It, meaning the cross, what happened there? The grace extended through the cross when Jesus died for us. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Now, I want to jump back. Let's put the first part of the verse up again, Vinny. I just want to read this part again. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to everyone, to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. There's the saying yes to God, and there's the saying no to things in this world. I know this isn't easy. It's tough. It's hard sometimes to say no to things in this world that kind of overcome us. You see, Jesus died for all of us so that you wouldn't have to say yes to things that compromise your faith, hurt people, hurt you. He died for us to save us from all that. So that when faced with those things, we could choose to say no and live a life of freedom, of true life change. Now this morning, I don't know what area of your life that is. I don't know what area of your life that you have struggled to say no to. I would probably say most of us, if not all of us, have an area of our life that we still need to surrender to Jesus. That we need to make sure we understand that the cross is not just a piece of wood that sits in our sanctuary, that what happened there that day, what happened there 2,000 years ago, saved us all. Gives us freedom, can change us forever. As long as it's an icon, we're just mistakers, right? As long as it's just an icon, we're just mistakers that just need to try harder the next time. And when the area of your life you seem to keep struggling with it, just try hard the next time, and then you fall again, try hard the next time. But see, if the cross is true, which I believe it is, if it is truly apparent in our lives, then we will recognize we are sinners in need of a Savior. And we need, not just kind of want, but we need Jesus in every single area of our life. And that means you and I need to make sure that we recognize that this is not just an image on a screen, a bracelet we wear, a necklace around our neck, but it is the place where love ran red. It is the place where sin was washed white. It is the place where you and I can have freedom forever and ever and ever. And that whatever area of your life you're struggling with can be laid down and once and for all taken away.